Number 8. Just think about that. How many verses that we've heard over the years, knowing that we might need to come forward or we need to obey the gospel. This is a real important song tonight. Every time you go to church and you hear the invitation song, that's a real, real important song. Because we need to study our lives and we need to make something right. Don't leave this building unprepared to meet God. Because He's got a place in heaven for you and me. He says in Revelation 21 and 4, He said there's no pain, no tears, the former things have passed away. And everyone here has an opportunity to go through them pearly gates. And if I don't make it to heaven, I have nobody to blame but myself. Because I have the truth in front of me. I can study this Bible as much as I want to. I don't have to answer to nobody. I got to answer to God. I got to study this to make sure that I'm living a Christian life. And if I'm not, that's what the song's for. Or you can come anytime, anywhere, or call one of the brothers and they'll baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son. You need the prayers of the church. That's what this song really is about. Is to get you to come either side that you can be added to the Lord's church. You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity every time someone asks me to have a lesson because you're preaching my thoughts that I think about a lot. When I get up a lesson, I get up a lesson for David Burnham. And when I give a lesson to someone else, these are my thoughts. And it may, if I can help one person obey the gospel, that's a feat. That is great. The Bible says there's more rejoicing over one soul that repented than 99 just people. So we got to continue to preach and teach, and especially live it in front of people that we can get someone to obey the gospel. You know, in our lives, I think a lot of times we put the realness out of God. You see TV and people don't care about God no more, but my God's real. He's still the same one in Genesis 1 and 1 who made the world. We go around sometimes in a daze not thinking about that we really believe that there is a God because the news media and people in this world telling us that they ain't, we shouldn't have to do this, live your life the way you want to. This is the 21st century. We shouldn't believe none of that. The Bible tells us don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. So we've got to stay faithful unto death, no matter, and put the blinders on like the old you and keep going forward. Because God is real. He's the same God that was in the Old Testament. He's the same God now in 2019. He hasn't changed either. Do we believe that His eyes are over us? Can we count on Him? You know, I believe a lot of times we don't think we can really count on Him. Because we got too much fear in ourselves. You know, tells you in 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. Who do we love with all our heart, mind, and soul? What should we be fearing? We should believe in Him, didn't we? God said that He would take care of us, didn't He? He did, didn't He? Didn't He take care of Abraham? Yes. Did He take care of Noah? Yes. Did He take care of Isaac? Job? Paul? Peter? Did He take care of them? How about David? How about the children of Israel? Has God ever let you down in your lives? Think about it. He never let us down, has He? Never. That's why we need to get into the truth. We don't need new ideas preached. We need the truth preached. We don't need to hear about stuff. I used to take having my lessons about the ball games and all this stuff, but the ball games ain't going to get me anywhere. We need to teach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what it's all about. We need to pray, 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 because, ladies and gentlemen, He's listening. If you're a member of the Lord's church, He's listening. He wants us to pray. It's like Jesus when He healed the blind man. He asked the blind man, He said, what do you want me to do for you? Did Jesus not know the man was blind? Yeah, He knew that, didn't He? But He wanted him to ask. What do you need? He wants you to ask. Don't He wants us to ask. Don't and it's a crying shame if a member of the Lord's church, which we are blessed and merciful, that we're members of the Church of Christ, and that we doubt anything about the Scriptures. You know, we believe in baptism, don't we? We'll fight you over baptism because I'm a member of the Church of Christ. And we've had to do that over the years. But you know what? There's a secret I'm going to let out tonight. There's more scriptures than Acts 2:38. We got to live it out. We don't need new ideas. You know, in the Bible, the first gospel sermon ever preached was in Acts, the second chapter. We all know that. It's the first one ever preached. 3,000 souls was added to the church. Acts 2:41, it says, "But they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same days was added unto them 3,000 souls." 3,000 people. I've had a few lessons in my time, and I'm sure Alan and some more here has had a lot of lessons. Brother Danny, Harry, Sammy, have you ever heard of 3,000 people come to the front and be baptized? Have you ever heard of that? I haven't. I ain't had nothing close to that. Never heard nothing close to that. Have you? Now here's the point. Don't get weary because when we have lessons and people never respond. Because the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:6, he says, "I planted and Apollos watered, but who gives the increase?" He tells us that. Who is it? It's God Almighty. So what was the deal here? What did Peter preach that had 3,000 souls come forward? You ever thought about that? You ever heard a lesson on what did he preach that 3,000 people was pricked in their hearts? Acts 2:22 tells us. He said, "Jesus of Nazareth, approved of God." That's what he preached on the day of Pentecost. He preached that Jesus, what they had done to him, and they killed him, didn't they? They hung him on the cross. He preached the identity of Jesus Christ, what he came here and done for us. Then he told these people here, he says, "You killed the Son of God." Well, that word "then" is the same word that we're reading right now. It pricked their hearts. And it was taught about Jesus Christ. We've been talking about Alabama football, or Auburn. You know, to me, these scriptures, we won't never understand the magnitude of this. Brother Allen, I don't believe we will until the baby blues are shut and the dirt's thrown in their face. And then we're going to say, "Wow, what did we have in our hands?" Now here's why, and I'm guilty of this, I hope you're not. I read the Bible a lot over the years, but I would skip Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How many of us, tell yourself to yourself, how many of us has done that? You know why I skipped them? It was so long. Those chapters, some of them was 80 verses. But you know what I was skipping? The death and the burial of Jesus Christ. Think about that a minute. How powerful was in words out there? The four Gospels that we never turned to was about our Lord coming down here dying on the cross for me. You know, in Acts 8 chapter, Philip and the eunuch. What did Philip preach to the eunuch in Acts 8:35? It don't tell you what he preached, except one word. What was it? Jesus. He didn't say, "This is what he taught him." He said, he looked at the same scriptures and began to teach him Jesus Christ. That's where we're going wrong. We're not teaching enough. That's why people don't have the desire. They don't really fear God no more, that he really actually sent his son. Preachers get up here. I've even get up here and say, "The Lord came here, we put a crown of thorn on his head, and he was crucified." That's not just the magnitude of it. The magnitude of it is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came here, who's done like that. That's what we need to preach and get it back into these minds of the young people and us. You know, you can be in a church for 40, 50 years. Sometimes we get complacent, don't we? Sometimes it's just a form of thing to do. How many of us actually believe that Jesus and God and the Word is powerful as it was the day that they said it on the day of Pentecost? We need to preach that more. I'm guilty. I can't find new stuff that'll save your souls. Think about that. We don't preach what we think. Hebrews 4:12 says this. For the word of God is quick. It's alive, powerful. Still the same thing that it started in Acts, the second chapter. I'm standing here teaching you, and my thoughts about the Bible, it's the same thing that happened on Acts, in Acts, the second chapter. First gospel sermon, same truth. It said it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. If you remember the church, you understand what that means. Because when you tell people the truth, or you tell me the truth, the first thing I do is I'm going to get mad. You know why? Because it cuts you. It cuts other people too. But we can't solve so. We can't change. We've got to continue to preach Jesus and Him crucified. He says it pierces even the dividing sundry of the soul and the spirit and joins to the marrow and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know, the Bible teaches us in Romans. It says, Romans 12:1, he says, be transformed. What are we going to be? How are you going to be transformed? Is it because me growing from a baby up, transformed to where I'm at now? No. He's transformed by the way we think. We put in what God thinks. I'm going to tell you this right here. God wrote this word right here. Paul didn't. Paul wrote it down through the inspired word of God. Did you know that? We got the word of God. We got God speaking to you and me in the word form. That's why we don't need to preach nothing but the word. He says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. You want to save a soul? You want to get someone to come to the front and obey the gospel? You want to save your soul? So it means the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. What pricked their hearts in Acts the second chapter? It was the word of God. It was Jesus Christ being crucified for me. That I'd have the hope of eternal life. That I'd be standing right here now on account of Jesus Christ shedding His blood on the cross. See, there's more powerful to it than just saying. I always tell Turner, and I hope you'll agree with this. If you don't, we'll talk back to church. I don't care if you know all the Bible, from Matthew to Revelation, the New Testament. If you don't see the picture, you won't stay faithful. What is the picture? It's the Word of God. He says it's the perfect law of liberty. I see it. Jesus said, they hear but they don't see. We hear, we don't see. When we see the truth, then it starts pricking our hearts and we have godly sorrow. This is what made us come to the front. Because I've disobeyed God. And for what His Son died for us on the cross. We should never forget that. We should never forget it. We have to move people in a direction. We do that by preaching the Word and living the Word. Living the Word in front of them. Sometimes silence is the best teacher. Because you know you're going to prick their heart. And if you get someone that's been in a church, another congregation or something, for years and years, and you say the wrong thing, we're through with them, because they're mad forever. You got to live it. You got to show it. But if we move the people in the right directions, which is God's way. Listen to 2 Corinthians 13:8. He says, for we can do nothing against the truth. but far. You know, people's tried this all along, and you see them on TV, they got crowds in there. I know this black-headed man, he gets up there, and he can talk so nice and wonderful. Whole basketball stadium in there, full of people. And they went over in there sitting just a smiling. All they got to do is open the word, follow the man, and they say, well, he's not teaching us what the Bible says. So we, no matter what he says against the truth, it ain't the truth he's preaching, or the place wouldn't be full. You only can do for it. Here's a question. We try to help God. Why? Why should I change this word? Why should I do anything but preach this word? God wrote it down. I wasn't there, Brother Moore, in Genesis 1st chapter when he made this place. I wasn't there to help him. He don't need me, does he? He don't need you. We need him. We can see God in these scriptures. We can see His Son in these scriptures. And the Holy Ghost sent it down here. What else do you need? Do I need a new idea? I come up with another idea to get people to come in? You know what it's going to do? It ain't going to last, is it? That's why you got to have a seed on the good ground. Here's the good ground. This will never fail. Never fail. So we should preach the truth. Listen to this. So we should preach the truth. It's the only way we can go to heaven. 2 Timothy 3 and 16, 17 says, all scriptures given by the inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instructions, and righteousness. Now what does that mean? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You want to go to heaven? All scriptures given by the inspiration of God. How many of us studies this Bible daily and then apply it to our lives and live it? See the picture. The picture is when we go down that narrow way, it leads to Christ and Matthew. And Matthew says there's only two ways, Matthew 7, 13, 14. The path that leads to Christ. This is where you go. This is the path that I'm leading. 1 John 1 and 7 says, you walk in the light. This is the light. This is the way and the truth and the life. You know, when we preach Jesus crucified, it brings back, let people see what He actually done for us to have the hope of eternal life. This is a reality, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not making this stuff up. This is real. Jesus is going to come back. We're going to meet Him in the clouds if we're still alive. He says that, 1 Thessalonians 4 chapter. We're going to meet Him in the clouds, and so will ever be with the Lord. How many of us has got aches and pains? Going to be done away with. You know, it's a lot easier to preach non-truth in this world today than it is to preach the truth. How many of us may be just a little ashamed? Be ashamed if we are. Because nowadays in 2 Timothy 4 and 3 has come true here. It says, for the time will come when thou would not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Can you see that today? Is the Bible fulfilling? I tell you what we need to do, all of us, starting with me. We need to put back in our lessons, thus saith the Lord. I think that's how to help us get there, don't you? That's the way I know I'm right. Because thus saith the Lord. What it's all about, man. What it's all about. That's why we need to get our Bibles out. We need to follow the speaker that's up here. He may be making a mistake and don't know it. You may help him. But make sure the truth is being taught. It corrects us. It's our instructions. Now, I know us men, when I open up something to put together, I take the instructions and I do like this because I do not need them. But we can't do that in this. We got to have the instructions. Because if we don't, we'll do like Brother Al had a lesson. He says, you're going down an interstate, and next thing you know, you get off on an exit. That's a good thing. You got to stay straight on the interstate, or you're going to be lost. And there's exits everywhere to get off. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of the life. There's a lot of exits, ain't there? We can never change the word to suit us. Remember, the truth is the only way I can go to heaven. Sometimes it hurts. My feet hurts. But we got to grow in the knowledge of the truth, man. You know, I see people come to the front in certain places, in our places. I've come to the front. But I'm going to tell you this evening, it's not a sign of weakness. So don't think that. If you got to come to the front, don't say, oh, people's going to say, oh, I'm so weak. That's not a sign of weakness. That means the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and you decided He's going to do something about it. That shows me that you're strong as a bull. That don't show no weakness. That shows faith. No. You know where faith comes from? Romans 10 and 17 tells us that. So then faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. That's where our faith comes from. That's why I said we need to move on from Acts 2:38 and believe everything. Do you believe the Lord is with us? You believe His eyes are over the righteous, His ears are over in our prayers? You believe James 5 and 16, that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much? You believe you've got a mansion in heaven waiting on you if you stay faithful unto death, Revelation 2 and 10? There's other scriptures, ain't there? Encouraging scriptures. It's still the same God. And it's still the same Jesus who was crucified. I tell you something else. It's real exciting. It should make us all smile. Matthew 18 and 20, Christ is in the midst of us tonight. Don't that make you feel good? What can bother us? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalms 23 and 4, I will fear no evil. We must learn God's Word, and we must do it, and we shouldn't add to it or take away. It is in Revelation 22, 18 and 19, ain't it? You add to it, it ain't no good. You take away, it ain't no good. He's going to add the plagues to us. God does not need help with His Word. Preach the truth. That's why we need to get back to the basics and the facts about the Scriptures. What else is going to save us? When He tells us in 2 Peter 3 and 18 to grow in grace, how do we do that? We sit here on this bench every Sunday and just grow in grace? I don't think so. I used to sit on the bench and I never did grow. I had to do something to grow. And see, a Christian is a do religion. But you know, if we ain't careful, we take the D-O out of it. Let Brother Ford do it, he'll do it. That old lady do it. He'd do it. Why not you do it? Why not me do it? It's a different thing. So we need to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified because this is the way, the truth, and the life. Now here's something that's known as stinks. When we really think about it, the picture. Remember the picture. You got to see it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That is Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. How many of us know that? We all knew that, didn't we? Right, here's what's going to get you. What does Romans 6, 3 through 6 say? When we're baptized into the water. That's the death and the burial and the resurrection of a Christian. You see how much we learn? He give us that right. Shouldn't we be preaching that more? That's the death and the burial and the resurrection. Because we was dead. The body of sin is dead. We raised to walk in newness of life. What are we talking about, the newness of life? How can you transform? You know, we've all done things that we're ashamed of when we was little, but we when we was young. So when we transform, hey, I can't do that. And this thing starts bothering you more and more as you grow, because you're growing in the knowledge of the truth and you're transforming that sinful body that you used to have. And you're righteous by the blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And I'll tell you another thing before I move to the next passage. When you're studying Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all the Bible, kind of put yourself there. You know, I used to say this, but the more I've grown, the lesser I think this. When the children read, I always say, they were dumb people. I mean, they went through the sea. I mean, they walked through the dry land, through the sea. They get on the other side and murmur and complain. I used to say to myself, I wouldn't have done that. I would have never done that. I would have never whined over anything after seeing that. Now put it in our perspective in 2019, how many times do we murmur and complain? What's the difference? Yeah, we probably would have done that too. 2 John 9 says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. So if we're not doing God's will, we're not in Christ, are we? Now listen. What he said in the scripture, he said, abideth in the doctrine of Christ. Not my doctrine. You know, a lot of people I talk to, and they say, what do you mean by that? Well, they're mad at me because of what the Bible said. I said, what are you mad at me for? I didn't write this down. You see, the word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And that's what brings people to the front. And preaching Jesus. That's what brings them to the front. His word. His word. Does God need help? We need the doctrine of Christ, not mine. Here's another saying. Without the truth and living the truth, we're lost. So, you know, when I was younger, I put one foot over here, and I got one foot over here. I was playing the game with it. Can't play the game. Put your heart and desire in the Bible and in prayer, and going to church, taking the Lord's Supper, have no life in us unless we take of that blood and His body. Let's turn our lives around and put these scriptures in our lives and do as much as we can, and call me in 6 months and you'll tell me that it changed your life. You want calmness? Believe what the Bible says. That's what I work on. These are my thoughts. This is my mirror that I'm talking to. Believe. I want to look in the perfect law of liberty. James 1 and 25. Preaching the word and not tickling the ears of people. Apostle Paul said in Galatians 1 and 10. He said, for do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please man? If I yet to please man, I should not be the servant of Christ. It's our choice, ain't it? It's our choice what we do. We don't believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, I wish we didn't have a choice. I really do. Because, you know, the broad way is leading to destruction is wide. But the path that leads to Christ is narrow. It says many go thereat. Few there be that find it in. You know, I believe the problem in the world today is We don't search the scriptures enough. We don't study enough. 2 Timothy 2 and 15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God. What for? To rightly divide the word of truth. You know, in Acts 17, 11, those were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures. When? Daily. Whether the things were so. What does John 5 and 39 say? It says, search the scriptures wherein you think you have eternal life. Are we searching? Are we searching the scriptures? Are we examining ourselves, 2 Corinthians 13 and 5? Are we examining ourselves whether we be in the faith? What if we're sitting here in the church? They've been sitting in the church all these years, lost as a goose. Because I didn't examine myself. I sat on the stool to do nothing. It's like a puddle of water. You set it there, it's going to turn green. We don't please man. He said, if anybody preach any other gospel than that you receive, let him be a curse. We need to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified, because that's the death, burial, and resurrection. And that's what he suffered on the cross. That's what his joy was in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. The joy that was set before him was being crucified, that David Burnham could stand here washed in the blood. And I can preach to God. Wow. Just put the Spirit back in. The world needs it. Not only the world, the church needs it. We need it. I need it. Got to stay on the straight and narrow path, because it leads to Christ. In John 14 and 6, he tells us this. He said, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but by him. What should we be preaching? What should we be teaching our kids? Look what Jesus done, my son. He went to the cross, drug that thing. He was beat hard to death. Spit on. He drug it on up there. What was his words? The last words was, it's finished. But what did he say there? He said, forgive them. They know not what they do. Man. What a powerful word. Don't that make the hair stand on the back of your neck that Jesus Christ did that for us? Should we be encouraged when we leave this building? Should we be on fire? You know, in Revelation, he says that he had something against them. I forgot who it was. I can't think right now, but they left their first love. You know, I think being a Christian ends. I heard a man one time say, I heard somebody say, this man, he was going to retire from preaching. I thought, how do you retire from preaching? The Bible says to be faithful unto death, so that means cemetery to me. Because you can do something. You can call. You can write a letter. But everything's to the glory of God. That's why we put here. That's why he tells us in Psalms 115 and 1, not unto us, Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give the glory. Powerful words, and not unto us. I like that scripture. I don't need it. We don't need to be up here making a name. We need to be up here proclaiming a name, which is Jesus Christ. We don't need new stuff to get me in here. If I bring in hot dogs and whatever to do to fill this building up, we all still going to the same place, ain't we? Because we don't have the truth. Powerful words. It's right in front of us, right there. You know what we're going to be judging on? You know, Hebrews 9 and 27 says, only unto man wants to die and act this judgment. Revelation 20, 11 through 15 tells us that John saw He saw the end of time. What are these people judged on? What are you going to be judged on? You know Bill Prince, Jr.? He said something at our church one time. He said, we're not going to stumble through the gate. We're not. He's going to say, come in. That's the only way you're going to get through the gate. You're not going to sneak around in the back. You can't just get to running start and run through it. Can you, brother? He's going to say, come into the joys of the Lord. And where did we get that from? Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ. That's the only person who can save the world. You can't talk to God directly. Tell you that Hebrews, don't you? Hebrews first chapter. God don't deal direct no more. You got to go through the Son who earned the right. Read Hebrews 5, 6 through 8. Though he was the Son, learned he obedience by the things he suffered. Powerful words, man. So I think if we all started with me first, we need to start telling people about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We need to get people to obey the gospel. If they need the prayers of church, we need to say, hey, let the word prick their hearts. Because that's the only way you're going to get them in. I've talked to people over and over and over and over. It's just like they can't hear you, like air, right through there, ain't it? Till they see it. They can see it in the scriptures, they can see it in your life, in my life. That's what we need to start doing more. It's about Jesus Christ. And quit trying to find some big fancy thing that somebody else don't know. We all should know it all. It's here in front of us. It's all about Jesus Christ. Him crucified. So I believe the world's lost the awesomeness of Jesus. They don't hear nothing about Him no more. And God is still the same. We're the ones that changed. Not God, not Jesus, not His Word. One more. Hebrews 10 and 31 says, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. The lesson is yours. Now, you've heard the Word. You believe the Word. Are you sorry about what we've been doing in this life? You want to repent of your sins if they've already godly sorrow? You want to confess that Jesus is the Son of God? And you want to be buried in the watery grave of baptism, where He says, Galatians 3 and 27, you're baptized into Christ? Guess what? You get to put on Christ. You remember His church? You remember the 3,000 souls? They was added to the church, Acts 2 and 47. Same as us. We was added to the church. God gives the increase. All planted, all is watered. That's what we're doing. We're planting and watering, all of us together. God gives the increase. So if you need to obey the gospel, come on either side, we'll help you anyway. You heard, you believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. You need the prayers of the church. 1 John 2 and 1 says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. But if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. That's the most wonderful scripture, if you can think about it, it's in the Bible. Because He gives us a second chance when we fall. Powerful words. We won't know what we got in our hands, it's like I said, till the baby blues are shut and we see judgment. When He brings it right back up, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? He had all the ample opportunity. But we've got to be so careful. I have to be so careful. If you don't, we can slip right back off one of them little exits. And we're not on the road to the path that leads to Christ. This fixes it. If you need to obey the gospel, you need the prayers of the church. Come as we stand and sing the songs. It's late.